Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com. Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
This is a True Crime Today Dark Side Flashback.
Michael Mick Philpott is an Englishman who, having gained notoriety as a criminal and for his polyamorous and benefits-funded lifestyle, subsequently caused the deaths of 6 of his children by arson and was sentenced to life imprisonment for their manslaughter in April of 2013. Philpott featured prominently in the media after 2006 as a result of his large family. He fathered 17 children by various women and his reliance on state benefits. In May of 2012, he was featured in the headlines again when a fire at his home killed his wife's 6 children, all but one of whom he had fathered. In April of 2013, following an 8-week trial, he and his wife, married together with their friend Paul Mosley, were found guilty of manslaughter. He's serving a life sentence with a minimum of 15 years imprisonment. Philpott has been described by psychologist Glenn Wilson as clinically a psychopath, an exhibitionist with antisocial personality disorder. The relationships with women and habitual violence, Philpott's attitude to women had been described as controlling, domineering, violent, and manipulative. In July of 1978, at age 21, while absent without leave from the army, he attempted to murder his girlfriend, Kim Hill, with whom he had a 2-year relationship, beginning when she was 15 years old. Philpott had previously shot Hill in the groin with a crossbow because he felt her dress had been too short, and he cracked her kneecap with a hammer when she paid too much attention to a baby she had been minding. Philpott attempted to kill Hill because she sent him a letter saying that she was leaving him, stabbing her over a dozen times as she was lying in bed. He stabbed her mother when she came to her daughter's aid. Hill suffered collapsed lungs and a punctured bladder, kidney, and liver, which she believed caused her subsequent liver cancer. Philpott was convicted of attempted murder of Hill and grievous bodily harm with intent against her mother and was sentenced to 7 years in prison in December 1978. Philpott was released after 3 years and 2 months in prison. Philpott married Pamela Lomax in 1986. He had 3 children with Lomax, 2 sons and a daughter. Lomax said that Philpott was controlling, and she prayed he would move on to someone else. Her wish was fulfilled when Philpott met Heather Kehoe, then age 14, in Rainworth, Nottinghamshire. Philpott was 37. On her 16th birthday, Kehoe ran away from her parents to live with Philpott. She gave birth to 2 children, both boys, in quick succession. But Philpott wanted a daughter and beat Kehoe for this reason. She described Philpott teaching her older sons to be violent with her. Philpott wanted Kehoe to produce more children, but she did not conceive again. When Kehoe tried to run away, Philpott threatened her with violence that he would do with her as he had done with Kim Hill. And before we continue unpacking more of the life and times of Man of the Year Michael Philpott, we should jump in and start talking about kind of what we've unpacked thus far on the dark side of Wikipedia. Tony and Sean with you today. If you like the show, be sure to press subscribe wherever you download the podcast. And if you want access to all of our episodes, all commercial free, advanced episodes of the show months before they're released to the public and our final chapter segments, become a Darksider. You do that at patreon.com/darksideofwikipedia or our website, darksideofwiki.com. Click become a Darksider. So this guy sounds like a real genuine human being. I guess my question, and I'm not trying to do any sort of victim blaming here, But the question is not why the fuck would you be with someone who has this relationship history? It's more so how, I'm curious how his relationship history was presented to these women that he continues to get into relationships and marriages with, that they said this is a good idea. I can't imagine it was like, yeah, my last one, I stabbed the mom with a crossbow and then I beat her senseless. Hey, have you had the chicken wings here? The Asian zing is a really good flavor. You like that too?
Like action documentaries as well?
Oh my God.
Swipe right on you.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
I watched that Dateline too.
I'm glad you can look over the crossbow thing. So many people get hung up on that. I can't imagine how that goes.
I mean, Tony, you know girls like the bad boys. Ooh, you have a tattoo. Yeah, it's of this young boy's penis that I ripped off.
Oh, God. I like to commemorate all of my mutilations on my left arm. My right arm is for the women that I've killed in my life.
It's funny. I call it a pelfie. It's a selfie with a penis I ripped off.
A pelfie.
What's funny is if their current day, these killers that we're hearing about, there'd be a whole vocabulary. There'd be a whole, man. I have no words as we continue to meet these all-stars in this very elusive team of killers and such. I just feel better about myself each and every time we meet somebody else that has four wives and five wives, and I'm looking for one wife.
It's another thing I look at and I'm always shocked by is the sentencing for people. 7 years, and he only served like what, 4.5 or something? And you fucking tried to kill your wife and then you stabbed the mother in with a fucking crossbow. Who thinks 7 years is okay for this? Who thinks after 7 years locked up, oh, he's going to come out. He's going to be a wonderful individual. He's probably going to open up a donut shop down the road and give candy to the kids. No, he's going to go find another woman, fucking brutalize her, and get locked up again. Anybody who at any point in their life thinks that that shit is a good idea and it's not drug-induced is a scary motherfucker. Even scarier when they're on drugs, but at least you can kind of look and go, maybe the drugs fucked with the person enough and they were out of their goddamn minds. If they're out of their goddamn minds without the drugs, that person ain't getting better. That person is the fucking walking drug.
But what happens when one of them or two of them or 300 of them are locked up and the security in that specific unit of that specific prison, the max capacity is at max, and they arrest another one? That then is when good behavior comes in, where if they need more room,
yeah,
which is entirely incorrect. I mean, if you can fit four of those in one jail cell, put nine. Because guess what? I don't care how fucking cramped you are. You lost that ability to have freedom when you did that with the crossbow.
Yeah, I don't care how cramped it is. And quite frankly, I don't care if y'all kill each other when you're doing shit like that. Now,
you would be doing us a favor because then we could fit more of you in this prison.
Yeah, it's just... Yeah, I mean, because what happens when someone of this, and I'm not saying everyone in prison is going to do this. I think there's plenty of stupid things that people are in prison for. A lot of drug offenses and things like that people got locked up for. That is insane and should be changed, especially marijuana, things like that. That's just fucking stupid that you'd put someone like this next to someone who is on like a marijuana offense. That's crazy and in nowhere near any sort of, you know, justice that is equal and fair. But people like this, and I'm speaking specifically on people like this, I don't fucking care. Once you've shown what you are capable of behaviorally, okay, thank you. You've shown us your true colors. We're done. And so is the rest of society. Bye-bye. I don't know. I mean, because this is only going to get worse, and I'm sure it will only reinforce my opinion on this individual. So let's continue down the road of his loving relationships, probably the inspiration for several Daniel Steele novels, circa 1994. In 1991, Philpott was given a 2-year conditional discharge for assault, occasioning actual bodily harm for headbutting a colleague. Normal. In 2000, Philpott met Madrid Duffy, a 19-year-old single mother born in England to an Irish family who had left a previous abusive relationship. She moved into Philpott's house shortly after, and the couple married in May of 2003. In 2001, Philpott met Lisa Willis, a 16-year-old orphan and single mother. Philpott invited Willis to move into his council house, which was larger than hers. In 2002, after moving in, the pair started a relationship, and Philpott began to beat Willis, attacking her with a piece of wood, after accusing her about lying over the father of her child. Lisa Willis was a bridesmaid at the wedding and Madrid. On the 23rd of December 2002, having left Philpott, Kehoe finally gained legal custody of her two children. Philpott marked this event each year by smashing the family's Christmas tree, the violence showing his anger at his children being taken away. I just got to say, it's good to have traditions. Continuing on. Philpott was heavily criticized in the tabloid media in 2006 when he requested a larger council house to house his family, which then consisted of his wife, Madrid Philpott, then age 25, his mistress Lisa Willis, then 22, and four children born to Mrs. Philpott, three to Lisa Willis and Lisa Willis's child, fathered prior to meeting him. The 1978 conviction for attempted murder was revealed at this time. After Willis gave birth to her fourth child by Philpott in 2006, the press revealed that both she and Madrid Philpott were expecting babies due in March of 2007. Before their birth, Philpott appeared on the Jeremy Kyle show in 2007 to defend his lifestyle, saying he would like to marry one woman and divorce the other, to be fair, and added that he would have a vasectomy. He appeared in a documentary, Anne Whittlecombe versus the Benefits Culture, in which the former conservative minister Anne Whittlecombe spent a week with him and tried to get him to change his lifestyle. Nancy Banks Smith in The Guardian reported that she gave him a large slice of her mind, but decamped rather than slept in his caravan. Whittlecombe found Philpott three jobs, one of which was a barrel-making firm, but he did not turn up for work on the first day of the job, and it fell through. In the documentary, Philpott was shown to be living in a caravan in his garden, in which his wife and mistress would alternate in spending nights with him. Whittlecombe said that Philpott did not care about anyone and that he called both his wife and mistress bitch. Whittlecombe said she noticed that none of the children sought affection from him. He has had no further children as far as is known. However, it was revealed during his manslaughter trial that Madrid became pregnant to another man while the couple were dogging, an activity in which they began to participate in during 2011. Philpott instructed Madrid to have an abortion, which she did. In 2010, he was given a police caution for slapping his wife and dragging her outside by her hair. A court hearing a week before the fire concerned a road rage incident during November 2011 in which he had punched another driver, for which Philpott had pled guilty to common assault but denies dangerous driving. At the hearing, Philpott was bailed and was awaiting trial. Philpott and Lisa Willis became estranged in February 2012, and she left to live with her sister and brother-in-law along with her four children by Philpott and her son by a different father. On the day of the fire, intended as a means of framing Willis to gain child custody, Philpott and Willis were due in court for a hearing over the children. We'll put a little pause there. The next chapter we get into is when he decides to play with fire, which should be rather interesting. Today's episode, we're going through the Wikipedia entry of Michael Philpott and also some reporting that was done on him at the time. There may be a little bit of repetitiveness to some of the recounts, but more information as we dig into the story. Here on the dark side of Wikipedia. So it just keeps going. Oh, by the way, here's a little slap on the wrist of caution. Yeah, don't drag your wife by the hair or slap her. That's a big no-no in these parts. So let's not do that again. Jesus Dogging. Christ.
Dogging?
What is that?
Well, it's funny you ask, Tony. Dogging is a British English slang term for engaging in sexual acts in a public or semi-public place or watching others doing so.
That sounds like a healthy thing to do with a lot of kids in a big family.
There may be more than two participants, as observation is encouraged. The two sets of people involved often meet each other randomly or arrange to meet up beforehand over the internet.
Well, if you're looking for some fast love, Michael Philpott should be on your mind, in the words of George Michael. Although I added the Michael Philpott in kind of a Mad Libs fashion. But it's, my God, I mean, the world is crazy. But when you hear stories like this and you hear of outside sources being aware or intervening and saying, don't do this, you can't do that. What the fuck does it take to say, guess what? Kids don't belong with you. We're all so concerned about so many things. We hear the commercials all the time with Sarah McLachlan singing In the Arms of the Angel and let's donate money to save the puppies, which is fine. I support saving the puppies. But what about the kids in relationships and in settings like this that were just like, well, you know, it's their biological father and you can't hide love. You sure as fuck can. There is no love there. That's called abuse. That's called insanity. What the fuck are we doing allowing these people to have any sort of relationship with children that all they did was donate to genetic material to create? Now we're saying because you donated this genetic material, you are fully qualified to raise this human being, even though you've been an exemplary person to us time and time again, of someone that should be run over by a semi repeatedly until there's no signs of your body left?
Isn't that because there are more laws in place to, in theory, protect children, but in some and many situations in this unique fashion are almost hurting them because parental laws and such prohibit maybe situations like this that could have ended a lot earlier than it did. Whereas if you're doing such harm to a dog,
yeah,
pretty black and white, bad, taking dog. Whereas children, this law, that law, that law. Hey, we got to wait 30 days or we have to wait for a fourth time that this has occurred.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe not. I'm not an expert in that realm, thankfully. But perhaps too much red tape, if you will.
Well, it's scary what can be done and what courts will allow. I had a client, or not a client, but someone who inquired to me. I did not take them on as a client in my radio commercial business. An attorney that had contacted me. And, you know, I talked to everybody a bit before we decide, you know, that we're going to do anything. He was bragging to me. He was a family law attorney, about how he was such a good attorney that he was able to get child custody back for the coke addict abusive mom who, I mean, there was like this whole laundry list of horrible shit that she was like literally caught doing. It wasn't like hearsay. It was like flat out, we caught you. We walked in on this and we have arrested you. And she got custody back in like 2 weeks or something. And he's like, he was bragging about how good of an attorney he was that he convinced the courts that that was a good idea. Like, what the fuck? And I, in some ways, if you're looking at, I don't know what sort of magic you said or did in that courtroom, or if it doesn't even require magic. Maybe their laws are just that fucked up that a court said that, okay, let's do that. But to literally be bragging about something like that and say that this is how good you are, that is fucked up. And that's not a world or a human being I would like to have any further words with or help or profit from either. So the conversation shortly ended and said, I don't think we'd be a good fit for one another. You have yourself a good life. And I hung up the phone. I'm not going to make fucking commercials for you or help you continue this span of insanity. But that's the thing. We live in this world where almost anything goes. And while there are certainly, and there should be protections for children, I feel like there's almost just as many that protect the predators that end up putting those of us who are sane and safe at risk. And then in turn, the children at risk because of you know, they because of loopholes, essentially, that they found to go, well, because of this and this precedent's been set here and that, that this is how this all works out in the end. Does it make any sense? No, but it's how the system works. So deal with it.
Yeah, it's interesting how you continue to get more and more shocked of what people actually have the audacity to basically let come out of their mouth and tell another human.
Mm-hmm.
You earlier on in life, and this has some a coworker or a friend, or it's always fun to spread gossip and to take the truth and then talk to somebody else and add a little bit of a white lie, then a little bit of a white lie, and next thing you know, this is what truly happened. By the time it comes to you, Deb in accounting killed her child. No, actually, Deb in accounting dropped her child off 10 minutes late, and it was class pick day, and she wasn't in the fourth grade yearbook picture. But whereas on the flip side, you talk to a prospective client or you talk to somebody and from the horse's mouth, and you are literally speechless of how to respond to another human. How do you even think like that? How do you? And exactly, we've come to a certain point, current day, that so much that used to shock us, even as recently as 10 years ago.
Yeah,
it's just par for the course, because everything is one of two things. They want to out shock and awe the next, where, oh, you think that's crazy, look at this. Or I think people are just that much more confident in
crazy.
Well, I guess.
Confident in crazy.
They're becoming more and more confident in how incompetent they are.
Yes, that's exactly what it is. It's confidence in crazy. It's finding what word I've said this one before. And I'm trying to think. I can't remember because when I'm put on the spot, I'm like, damn it. Incompetence. It's eluding me, but it's being proud of being incompetent, and finding, you know, some sort of, you know, real joy and it is pride in being incompetent. There's another way I used to say it, but it sounded really slick and I'm not getting it out in any way, shape or form on the air right now. But that's the thing. There used to be shame. And I think our society's lack of shame, and everyone needs to feel good about themselves and this and that. And there's nothing wrong. People should strive to feel good and be in a good place, but not when it's not called for. There are certain times in life where you should be ashamed of your behavior if you've done something bad or wrong or hurtful. And then you learn to go, I shouldn't do that anymore. That's not good. I fucked up. We all fuck up. But, you know, because I feel this shame, because other people are looking at me saying that was wrong, that's how behaviors typically are changed. But we are in such a place now where that's such a thing. Oh, that's just their prerogative. That's their opinion. That's their truth. What the fuck does that even mean? Like, you're not entitled to your own version of truth. You're entitled to reality and opinions, but you cannot create your own facts. And that's where I think things get so fucked up and convoluted, and you basically enable a whole world or someone that may have slight narcissistic personality tendencies, and we all have them to a bit, but if maybe someone could easily go over the edge if it's enabled more and more, and we're in a world where it's enabled tenfold. And I think we have people now with these disorders that are narcissistic and things of that nature that we've never seen at this level because it's been so strongly enabled by just society as a whole that this is where we're at. And that's where you can have an open conversation and somebody can brag about putting children into a dangerous situation with a crack whore. You know, it's like, yeah, I did that. She's back and she's smoking it up with the kids, and they're watching television unmonitored while she fucks whoever in the living room.
And it's kind of crazy. Every time I borrow a chapstick, my lips start to quiver and I piss myself. But man, it's good shit.
And I think I got herpes all over my mouth now from borrowing that chapstick. But goddamn it, I love that Carmex.
That's what those bumps are.
Yeah.
It's their truth is very interesting, because the most simplistic way to kind of back the truck up and get to a communal agreement is it's their truth. No, it's their opinion.
Yeah.
So
is their interpretation.
It may very well be a synonym of truth based upon their current situation. But to pull the curtain back even more, and it's a very boring statement, don't be a dick.
Yeah.
Because if you don't know, there's 2,000 sayings. If you don't know or are not an expert in the topic that another person that you're talking to is talking about, and they have such strong passion and such this, that, or the other, you can A, shut up, or B, respectfully disagree. Mm-hmm. Because what positive, if you're talking about Russian physics, or you're talking about something that I have zero knowledge about, what positive will me bringing as much force and passion back to you as you're bringing to me on the topic bring me, you, or anybody?
Yeah.
Like, at all. And again, the simplicity, and it all fuels the fuckery. It all fuels the cluster, this side of the other, about people thinking it's politics and stupidity and this side of the other. The basic is don't be a dick. And if you don't know, shut the fuck up. And understanding that there's going to be another human or many that don't have the same view as you, and who the fuck cares? Because ultimately you do you. Yeah. Is you want to kill someone? You want to date a 14-year-old? You want to, you do it. But hey, Bill, I have this new fun activity. It's dating 9-year-olds. Nope, I'm good. You do you, man.
You do you, and you're going to end up in prison. And
so I'll
you have
send
fun
you postcards.
There. Yeah. And the problem with it is too, like, you can hear somebody say they're doing these things and whatnot. Of course you'd report them, but if there's no evidence to prove that it happened, it's like, well, he talks a lot about dating 14-year-olds and all that, but we can't prove he's doing it. There's no recourse. You have to wait till it happens before they can even be fucking charged or arrested, no matter how much they're like, yeah, I want to fuck a 14-year-old. It's like, Jesus Christ, this person is like, he has a track record of this. He's talking about doing it. And you're like, hey, stop dragging your wife around by the hair. Jesus, what the fuck? What the fuck? Anyway, let's continue on with the fine story of Michael Philpott. On May 11th, 2012, the family's home at 18 Victory Road, Allentown, Derby, was seriously damaged by fire at around 4 a.m. Five children, Jay, John, Jack, Jesse, and Jaden Philpott, who had been asleep upstairs, all died at the scene, while their half-brother, Dwayne Philpott, died in a hospital 3 days later. In the days following the fire, the family's local Catholic church held memorial services. On the 16th of May, Philpott and his wife held an emotional news conference in which they purported to describe the events concerning the fire. A charity, Catch Me When I Fall, was set up by local residents to help the family of the children. A book of condolences at Derby Cathedral was later signed by hundreds of people. A fund to pay for the funerals raised over £11,000 by members of the public living in the area of the Philpotts. The children's joint funeral took place on the 22nd of June 2012 at St. Mary's Church in Derby. Mick and Madrid Philpott, by then on remand on murder charges, were denied leave to attend. On the 14th of May, Philpott stated that petrol had been found inside the letterbox, thus sparking a murder investigation. Lisa Willis, Philpott's live-in mistress, had left the family home with her four children a few months before the fire, and a custody hearing for these children was scheduled to take place on the morning of the fire. Willis and her brother-in-law, Ian Cousins, were initially arrested on suspicion of murder, but were released without charge. Philpott behaved erratically for someone who had recently lost several of his children, according to witnesses, and appeared to like the attention. The police bugged the Philpott's hotel room, gaining evidence confirming the couple were responsible for the fire, including the involvement of Paul Mosley, with whom Madrid Philpott was heard engaging in sexual intercourse. Philpott and his wife were arrested on suspicion of murder on the 28th of May 2012. After seeking additional time for questioning, the couple were charged with murder on the 30th of May 2012. A discarded petrol container and glove had been found near the house. And in November, the forensic investigators discovered that the clothes of the Philpotts and Mosley had petrol on them. On the 5th of November 2012, a 49-year-old man and 45-year-old man were arrested on suspicion of murder. Later that day, the 45-year-old man, Paul Mosley, was charged with murder. The other man was released without charge. Mosley appeared in court the following day. In December 2012, his charge was downgraded to manslaughter. Paul Mosley had previously been arrested in the inquiry and was released on bail in June 2012. He was rearrested and charged with petrol was found in his clothing following further forensic examination. In December of 2012, the charges were reduced to manslaughter, and it was decided that Philpott and his wife had not intended to kill their children. The trial was held at Nottingham Crown Court beginning on the 12th of February of 2013. Richard Latham, QC, led the prosecution on behalf of the Crown Prosecution Service. Anthony Orchard, QC, led the defense for Mick Philpott. Sean Smith, QC, led the defense for Madrid Philpott. And Benjamin Nolan, QC, led the defense for Mosley. On the 2nd of April, Mick and Madrid, along with Paul Mosley, were each found guilty of manslaughter of the six children. Sentencing was due to take place on the 3rd of April, but was postponed as the judge, Miss Justice Thirlwall, wanted more time to consider the sentence. Philpott's prior criminal convictions, which had not been revealed to the jury, were disclosed at that point. On the 4th of April, Philpott was sentenced to life imprisonment with a minimum tariff of 15 years, and his wife Mosley were each sentenced to 17 years, of which they will serve at least half before any release or license. As a result of the trial, Lisa Willis and her children were given a new legal identity in order to protect them from being the subject of media attention. So, there you go. Found guilty. I don't know how you kind of initiate the sentence of life, but a minimum of 15 years for something like this. Why can't you just do something like, guess what? You're going to fucking die. You're going to die in jail. We're not even going to put a number on it because you don't deserve a number. And if you piss us off, we'll just kill you ourselves. Or let, you know, go to a prison where it tends to be that the prisoners kind of do the job for us. Jesus, it's baffling that we live in a world, and I know this is not in the U.S. where this is happening, but it sounds like their criminal justice system is about just as lax as ours can be.
I want to say I am not a legal expert, but based upon what you try someone for, there is, whether it's more efficient or it's easier, less you need to prove to convict for X amount opposed to, say, you're looking for a max life sentence. Well, then you have to have a trial in this way, and then you have to provide these amount of details, etc., opposed to, hey, slam dunk, get him for 20 years, and then along the sentence of the 20 years, we'll concoct more intricate evidence, which we have. We just want to throw this person in jail. We'll then extend that to, sure. Oh, by the way, you're also convicted of 800 more years in prison. Goodbye.
And the thing is, that sort of thing usually happens right when they get somebody and they need to hold them so they don't become a flight risk. It's like something you do with R. Kelly or somebody where it's like, we have to go
you
through.
You cannot stay at any more Holiday Inns. No.
Yeah. And Chingy cannot come along. And something like that, we have to, you know, you can find like some sort of lighter crime to charge them with to hold them. And then you get into the trial and you get the stronger convictions. It's what's been going on in the United States in the last couple of months of holding and trying to retain some of the insurrectionists at the Capitol. It's like, we're going to get them on these smaller charges first, but we're going to bring these larger charges a little bit further down the road once we can do it. Once you've got somebody like this, though, and you're already well into the trial, you've already been convicted of murder, we have you on tape talking about killing your fucking family. I don't know why it needs to be drug out any longer. And when the judge is sitting there going, I think I need to think about this a little bit longer to think about sentencing. I don't get that. I don't get where, I mean, I don't know. I'm very much an all or, I am an all or nothing person in a lot of ways, but there is a lot of gray areas I do look at. But things to me seem pretty clear when I've made a decision. And if it's gray, I'll say it. But some things are just very black and white, where it's like something horrible has been done. Here is the reaction. Here is the appropriate reaction. Sometimes the more I think about things, the more gray it can get, and the, I think, less, you know, appropriate reactions can then come out where it's like, no, maybe it should have been reacted to this way because that's appropriate and it's gotten more watered down over time. When you hear these people on tape talking about killing their family and willingly doing it and knowing the history of the guy, fuck, if I'm that judge, I'm like, the strongest possible sentence that can fucking exist is what you get. I don't need to go, you know, listen to the Calm app and meditate on this for a day or any amount of time. I want you fucking gone off this planet. And if the only thing I can do is lock you up so you can't interfere with other human beings' lives, that's what we're doing. Where is this? Why do we have to contemplate things like this when it's that clear? I get it when there's more gray area to it. They're on tape talking about burning their family alive. I don't know where there's a gray. Well, we got to think about this. Maybe we don't want to be too harsh. Fuck that.
I think there are people that have that view. I think there are also people who, okay, we need to look at all angles here. I know we have this, but...
To me, the angles are all there. We got the angles. You're a horrible person. You have the gumption to burn your family alive. Guess what? You get to die in prison, or if there's an option to kill you by the state, let's fucking fire up old Rusty here and have you sit down and we're going to pull a trigger. For something like that, when you're on tape admitting to killing your family, that's cut and dry. I get it when there's more gray area and we don't, and there's questionable things. This ain't a questionable one. And that's where I just, I don't know. This is an article that was written at the time of the murders and the time of the sentencing of the Philpotts. Mick and Madrid Philpotts were today found guilty of killing six of their children in a house fire in Derby as part of a botched attempt to frame his former lover. The couple were convicted of the manslaughter of their babies after a seven-week trial where Mick Philpott repeatedly sobbed in the dock, collapsing when the prosecution accused him of planning the fire that ended in tragedy. But the jury refused to accept his excuse that someone had started the fire through his letterbox, instead believing he was the mastermind of the plot that went horribly wrong. A third defendant, Philpott's friend Paul Mosley, was also found guilty of six counts of manslaughter. As the jury delivered its verdicts in respect of 56-year-old Philpott, he stood in the dock, staring straight ahead with his hands collapsed in front of him. As the court returned guilty verdicts on his wife, he shook his head and she looked down at the floor and fought back tears while clutching a tissue in both their hands. Mosley showed no emotion as he heard the guilty verdicts. Before leaving the dock, as the judge rose for a short break after an emotional outburst in the packed public gallery, Philpott, wearing a gray suit, white shirt and pink tie, crossed himself and was heard saying, "It's not over yet." People in the public gallery erupted in tears and shouts as the verdicts came in. Members of the public hugged one another as they sobbed. A spectator in the gallery shouted, "You murdering bitch! You heard me? I told you! Didn't I? No one fucking listened to me from day one." She was escorted from the courtroom. The judge, Miss Justice Kate Thurwell, told the court she will sentence all three defendants at 10:30 a.m. tomorrow. After the case, Mick Philpott's sister, Dawn, said justice has been served. In a statement read on the steps of the Nottingham Crown Court by Detective Constable Maria Needs, Mick Philpott's sister, Dawn Bestwick, said, "My family and I have attended court each and every day and listened objectively to all the evidence in the trial to understand what happened to our six beautiful children on May 11, 2012. Our presence in court was to find out the truth. Following today's verdicts, we, the family of Michael Philpott, believe justice has been served." Madrid Philpott's family and the Duffy family also issued a statement. It said, "On the 11th of May, 2012, Dwayne, Jay, John, Jack, Jesse, and Jaden were taken away in the cruelest way imaginable by the very people who were supposed to love and protect them. Me and Madrid's family cannot describe the pain we feel. Today, justice has been served and we are happy with the verdict. We'd like to thank everybody involved in the case." Derbyshire Chief Constable Steve Cuttrill said, "This has to be one of, if not the most upsetting cases any of us have ever investigated. This is a shocking case for everyone involved. Six young children lost their lives needlessly in a fire, and all of our efforts have been focused on getting justice for those children." Samantha Shallow of the Crown Prosecution Service said, "Today's verdict shows that the children died as a result of the actions of Michael and Madrid Philpott and Paul Mosley when they set the fire. It was started as a result of a plan between the three of them to turn family court proceedings in Ms. Philpott's favor. It was a plan that went disastrously and tragically wrong. This has been a challenging and harrowing case to prosecute." As the verdicts came through, shocking images were released for the first time showing the charred, gutted interior of the property. Fire investigators said temperatures in the home upstairs in the bedroom of 18 Victory Road at Allentown Derby would have reached more than 500 degrees Celsius or 932 degrees Fahrenheit during the blaze, at any one of those rooms did not stand a chance of survival. Thick black smoke would have quickly filled each room from floor to ceiling, rendering Jade Philpott 10 and her brothers Dwayne 13, John 9, Jack 8, Jesse 6, and Jaden 5 unconscious in minutes. From the moment the fire was set in the hallway in the early hours of May 11th, the flames would have surged up the UPVC front door, melting the plastic, and quickly progressed up the staircase with the help of varnished wood paneling. All the upstairs doors were open during the blaze, allowing the smoke to quickly flood the three bedrooms in which the youngsters slept. Soon after the fire, Mick and Madrid Philpott made a tearful appeal on national television for information, but it was all a ruse to try to cover their tracks. Evidence of the trial and an extraordinary dossier of secret recordings gathered by police, publicly released today, revealed they were heard asking if they were sticking to their story. In one recording, the father of 17 tells his wife, "It's my fault that half the family is gone. I should have seen it all coming. Duck." In another recording, he tells Madrid in a police van, "My brief said that for the judge to do what he's doing, he's got to have some big balls because there's no evidence. They've got nothing." The blaze was part of a plan Philpott had to frame his former mistress, Lisa Willis, 29, who had left the family home 3 months earlier, the court heard. She and her five children, four of whom were fathered by Philpott, had lived with the Philpotts and their six children for 10 years before they left in February of last year. The fire happened around 3:45 a.m. on May 11th, just hours before Philpott, who was father to a total of 17 children by five different women, and Miss Willis were due to appear at a pre-scheduled court hearing to discuss residency of their children. The court date was postponed following the fire. During the trial, prosecutor Richard Latham, QC, said Philpott just wanted a house full of kids and the benefit money that brings, and tried to set up his former lover, Lisa Willis, in a bid to win custody of their children. Dave Cross, watch manager and Derbyshire Fire and Rescue Service, was part of the team that investigated the fire. Speaking at Derby Kingsway Fire Station, Mr. Cross said the children didn't stand a chance. But you hear it there. He just wanted the kids, and he wanted the state assistance. That's all it was. It was a wish, a wonderful wish and dream gone horribly wrong. Jesus Christ. Where do we look at this and go, what the fuck? Especially the family that's like, justice has been served. Great, justice has been served. I don't know if I can say, where were you in terms of allowing this to be going on with your family members? Or was there nothing of the state? And I'm not trying to insult them or, again, victim blame here. But were there no laws? Is there nothing in place for anyone to step in and say, I think my, you know, whatever relation here, brother-in-law, sister-in-law, son, whatever the fuck it is, is out of their goddamn mind and is endangering children. I think someone needs to step in here, whether it be us, the other family members, to take these children in and get these people fucking away from them, or the state to come in and maybe put them into foster care. But maybe those things don't exist. Maybe there is arguments of they were there, they tried that, but the laws did not work in their favor. I don't know the answer to that.
Well, Tony, that would make sense. And then there's factual evidence of what actually happened.
Yeah.
That makes anything but.
I'm just blown away. And the callousness of the arguments that Mick is still, you know, using. They ain't got shit on me. It's like, you're fucking kids. And then he tries to cry in court and tries to act all sad. And, you know, I think the problem with a case like this and what gets me so riled up is we're trying to make sense of something that you can't make sense of. And these people who execute these crimes, they do it in such a way that they present as if everything going through their mind is making sense. And we're trying to catch up going, What fucking page are you on in this book of I'm a fucking horrible human being? I'm trying to just follow along, and I'm not finding the page in your book.
The way to answer this and similar situations is a 1990 hit by CNC Music Factory. things that make you go,
Yeah,
my girl didn't trust me. No, yeah, but she lost control. I wouldn't take the bait. I said, chill, baby, baby, chill, baby, baby, wait. My girl bust in, caught us creating a boom. She said, girlfriend, things that make you go, I mean, you can't. This is a situation where your brain, every single thing that we comprehend, that we hear, that we read, that we interact with, that we do on a daily basis, it all has to go through that part of the brain of either, oh, okay, or what? And then, oh, okay, this situation, this story, everything about this, when it goes through the filter of your brain, whether you know about it or whether you don't, it's hitting a wall of, are you fucking serious? How the fuck does this occur? And then your brain just, you got to put up an out of order sign with some aqua duct tape, because you don't have any black duct tape. You don't have any white duct. You just got random ass aqua duct tape that you bought at CVS 7 years ago for your niece's birthday. And you just stick it on the wall and says, brain currently out of order. I don't know how to comprehend this. It can't be.
And in the meantime, while everyone's going and singing things that make you go, they're in the other room jamming out to I Want to Sex You Up. Hence, this part of the story. Mick slept with his wife and live-in lover Lisa Willis, 28, on alternate nights. The couple had threesome with friend Paul Mosley on the family's snooker table the night the children died. Madrid later performed a sex act on Mosley in a hotel room while the husband watched. The couple regularly went dogging, having sex with strangers while others watched. Madrid fell pregnant to an unknown man and had an abortion. Mick said he had not showered for 12 weeks before the fatal fire. So, Jesus. Yeah. Things ain't firing right in that brain.
If it's wrong to celebrate a funeral by having a threesome with people I've never met before,
on a snooker table?
I don't want to be right.
If I gotta be wrong, I don't want to be. That's like a song, isn't it? I don't want to. It goes to something. I can't think of what it is.
Oh, that new one by that country music singer celebrating Aunt Mary's death with an orgy? I think that's up to number 9 on Spotify.
It's the latest from
Rascal Flatts.
We couldn't do our tour this year, our farewell, because of COVID. So we decided to write an album all about orgies while you burn your family alive. Everybody, right? These days, I'm fucking bitches on the snooker table. These days, I'm missing you. I'm moving on. Oh, I'm moving on.
Our latest collaboration with R. Kelly, Bless the Golden Road. It's funny because he peed on people and they had a song called Bless the Broken Road, which quite honestly is the second most popular wedding song behind Louis Armstrong or Frank Sinatra, whatever. But take your pick. But
God bless the broken road that lead me here to the threesome with you. Singing our
room.
Whoa, whoa, oh, oh, oh. I've been locked in this closet with them bitches. I just let them out of the closet. And now we're having a threesome with Rascal Flatts. They tapping them on the ass. Yeah, we are. We are. Oh, yeah, you are. Say it.
Dogging. Dogging on Tuesdays.
Let's go to McDonald's after this and have a Big Mac, because this is what my mama used to get me. It makes me feel so good.
Oh, you by Roadway Inn, who gave us a free wedding suite to dog in.
Oh, oh. Yeah. I don't see nothing
yourself,
wrong.
Do they do narcotics while they record their podcast? No.
That's the best part. We don't do them. It's noon on a Wednesday, actually, as we're doing this show. So, there you go. The exclusive single, you heard it here first. It's brand new music from R. Kelly and Rascal Flatts. I want to fuck you on a snooker table. God bless the broken road that led me to fuck you.
Original audio, 2021.
HD remix.
This has been a True Crime Today Dark Side Flashback. Be sure to press subscribe wherever you download podcasts so you don't miss any of our new episodes every Monday, Tuesday, and Friday. Breaking news stories and daily brief.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
From True.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
True crime today.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.